to the Power Hour on Verb Moto.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Prepare to get annihilated with an awesome opportunity. Featuring your favorite motocross brand, Verb Moto. Win a grand prize of a Yamaha Wolverine R-Max 2 1000 Sport. Two 2024 Yamaha TTR 110E motorcycles. And $20,000 cash. But wait, there's more. There's also additional weekly prizes. New merch, pocket-breaking prizes, our pockets, definitely not your pockets. The more you buy, the more points you earn. We're stacking points, baby. Come get them. Visit shopverb.com for more or dial 1-800-VERB-MOTO. That's not a real number. Don't call us, please. No purchase necessary. Rules and regulations apply. See shopverb.com for official rules.
Before we get started on this podcast, I just want to thank you, the listener, for checking out all of these episodes. It truly means a lot to me, and I hope that you guys are enjoying it. If you guys are, in fact, enjoying these podcasts, hit me up on social media. Bigamex Radio, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter, I always reply. In fact, I don't think I've ever had a direct message that I don't get back to in some sort of way, whether it's a reaction or a genuine conversation. I love to go back and forth about moto, so hit me up. I want to give a huge shout out to Moto Coatings Company for sponsoring this podcast, as well as Racetech. Have you gone to service your suspension lately? It probably needs new bushings, maybe new seals. Heck, just swap the oil out. Either way, Racetech suspension engines, they are the ones to go with. And if you need a brand new seat, and let's be honest, last year, if you did a serious amount of riding, you probably need a new seat or a new seat cover. So trust our friends over at Guts Racing, and you can use discount code VERB20 to save yourself 20% off your discount off of your brand new seat. So go ahead and do that. All right, guys, let's get to the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Verb Pod Network. This is the Power Hour. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. The Dream Stakes, it's already happening. We're about almost 4 weeks into this thing. So if you haven't gone to shopverb.com, you need to go ahead and do that. You've probably heard enough of that information in the ad that comes before me talking. You've heard more than enough about that for this episode. So let's switch things over to my co-host, the big boss with the hot sauce. He is the voice of GNCC. He goes by the name of Zach Attack. Aaron, how's it going?
What's up, man? Good to be back. I got a nice...
Do you like Zach Attack? As people talking, I think that's a no-fly zone.
It's Zach's. Overdue. It's overdone. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you got to have the Zach with a K in it. Like, it's got to match up written as well as said.
Yeah.
I go Zach of all trades. Zach of all trades. That's my thing. I do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But got a nice tan from being out in Vegas, man. Still got a little bit of windburn from those first couple days as well. But it was great, man. World Mini checked off. I actually just got back at about midnight last night from Tennessee. The next round of GNCC was this past weekend, or the last round of GNCC was this past weekend. Out a brand new facility in Tennessee, man. Had some big concerts. Had typical GNCC. It's pouring rain on Monday. We come in on the mud. It's dusty as hell by Sunday. But record turnout for a brand new location. So excited to chat about all the things we've missed, but we need to let you guys know about next on the list. Let's cross off World Mini, drop down. There it is. Scratch through it. May 18th and 19th at Yuna Appendilla, baby. We're going to be doing J-Day Off-Road Series with Verbadilla. Now, I got to do it last year. That's where the bromance started between myself and B-Rad. But how you feel about B-Rad? I feel like that's...
I just want to be rad. I was like formative years when that came out, and like I don't know if this was just specifically a Canadian cartoon from back in the day, and it's likely way before your time, but there used to be a show called Sticking Around but they had a character that his name was Bradley, but everyone would call him Scradley. So I got that for like the first like 16 years of my life. So B-Rad was a welcome change. I often just say I want to be rad. I'm not necessarily on the radar of being rad just yet. But this is like Verbadilla. That's where you and I like really locked eyes for
our anniversary.
I'm like, you're dope, I'm dope. Let's talk about some dirt bikes. We both enjoy ourselves some ditch pickles. The mean green machines, and talking shit about people who ride dirt bikes. So here we are.
Absolutely. And those that pretend they do, right? Everybody likes to talk about them, but you actually got to get out and ride some. But no, May 18th and 19th, Verbadilla, a little bit of off-road, a little bit of moto. I'd say it because I know a decent amount. That's what I mean. I know people from both sides of it. It's cool. It's worth checking out. Ethan runs a great show over there. They had their opening round last weekend out at Southwick. And so I haven't got to see how that – yeah, I didn't get to see too much from it, but I heard it was good. I know Brock Lover was out there. And then June 15th and 16th, we're going all the way back to the Pacific Northwest over at Washougal, Verbapalooza, the pit bike, Straight Rhythms coming back. Need I say more? I mean, quite honestly, that basically sums it up. Verbapalooza and Pit Bike Straight Rhythm is back June 15th and 16th. Go ahead and mark the calendars. That's next on the list for the Verb Shred Tour, man. I'm waiting. Hopefully going to be reunited up in New York. We'll wait and see on the final words from the big bosses. But, man, World Mini was great. But we've got so many things to talk about. I feel like it's been like a month since I've talked to you, man.
No doubt. No, we took a break from what you regularly scheduled programming as far as the Verb Power Hour. I kind of saw the writing on the wall when, personally, having gone through a lot of Verb events, you're nose down, ass up the entire time. It involves a lot of red eye flights. And when you when the weekend is done, you feel like you've been ridden hard and put away wet. So when Monday rolled around, I'm like, you know what? I can't do it to the guy. I can't dial up this kid and make him do a podcast. So I called up the guys from First Form. I talked to Sage, Matt, Aaron, James, and JT, and we went through their entire experience for the Gypsy 500. They were excited about it, and I honestly got a lot of great reviews from that episode. So you might be on the chopping block as far as the Power Hour goes, as far as co-hosting duties. But you know what? No one brings the moto knowledge quite like you do. We took that 1 week off. You get some rest and recovery, although the voice didn't really get that because you're on the microphone talking about GNCC. You're nonstop, man. I got nothing but respect for it.
Yeah, it's go, 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 man. It's, like I said, man of many microphones. I've got, we don't have any races this coming week. So I got three different music shows going on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. So, just always going, man, on to the next thing. It'll be, all the way up to Ironman Raceway for the Hoosier GNCC in, 2 weeks. So that'll be a great long 11-12 hour drive, something like that, that I'm super excited for. As I'm sure you can
drive
tell, but no,
the
man.
Most rounds.
Every
I know you're East Coast, round. But do you drive them all?
Every round. Oh. Yep. Okay. Yep. So, at some point, I feel like the math's got to lean towards flying, but you know, I'm not a mathematician. So, Liam Nissan, my Nissan Frontier, he's hanging on for dear life. I think check engine light has burnt out. It did not turn back off. But nonetheless, my peace of mind is restored. So, I was doing about 85 going through the mountains last night, just praying that ticking sound was supposed to be there. So nonetheless,
you have a tick as well. I have a ticking time bomb. It's called a Ford F-150 2012 edition. I was parking my truck yesterday and I had my windows down and like someone walks by and goes, yo, dude's cam phasers are fucked.
I'm like, oof. Hell, you just identified the problem right there. That's
bad. I was like, oh, someone with some knowledge about, more than one cylinder engines calling me out. You know what? It's been making that noise for about 100,000 miles. And it will continue to be making that noise until I'm sure I'll be driving somewhere here in Winnipeg. And the truck will just come to a screeching halt. And at that point, it'll be time to look at some new vehicles and make some payments. But for now, the truck owes me nothing.
Absolutely, man. Well, let's jump right into it. We got the quick banner. We got GNCC to talk about, Supercross, World Mini as well. And of course, all of this coming to you courtesy of Moto Coatings Company. Let's go ahead and jump into it, man.
Yeah.
Were you about to say something?
I was going to say, I just about to take I'm going to frame my KX125. I'm going to take a few of those pieces off and get them sent out to Andrew over at Moto Coatings Company because honestly, they don't really make those pro circuit, like the triple trees, like they used to, like those like kind of anodized brown. Mm-hmm. Know who can do it for me? I can get those coated up and looking correct. That way, you can put more lipstick on the pig that is my 2004 KX125. So thanks to Andrew over there, going to have that thing as a full pro circuit rebuild. That's going to be a lot of fun. Let's get straight into some Supercross talk as well as some GNCC talk because here on the Power Hour, we talk about both. Like this is just dirt bikes, right?
We love it all, man. We are a racing podcast. We love it. And, yeah, our boy Stu Baylor pulls it out and gets it done at, the Old Gray, which was the brand new location there in Central Tennessee. And man, it was not easy by any means. Third turn coming into it, points leader, Johnny Girard. Now, I will say, I found at the end of the race, the guy has been super sick. He caught a food bug the day before on Saturday night and was throwing up all morning on Sunday. So maybe he wasn't. Yeah, maybe the depth perception wasn't quite there, but he came in like a hot missile and made a little bit of contact with Stu Baylor, put him on the ground right there in turn three. And I said it before. Now, if you remember at the last round, Stu got a little penalty, got bumped off the podium. As if he needed any more motivation, he was screaming all kinds of kind words as he was headed off into the woods, dead last in the XC1 class. I think it was 4 miles in was the next time our Racer TV cameras caught him. He had already worked his way up to fourth. So, and there's probably 13 to 14 guys there in that XC1 class and was right there pushing for the top three, made the move for second, like before the end of the first lap. So it was a great ride for him, man. But the last lap, he was an absolute dirt magnet. The guy was hitting the ground left and right. We oftentimes don't get to see a lot of the crashes just because of how long the course is.
Right.
But man, Racer TV was on it. We had, I think he crashed like four or five times, and I'm pretty sure we got about three or four of them. And it was good. Jordan Ashburn, he is the 2021 champion in the XC1 class. He actually, yeah, 2021, maybe 22. I'm getting him confused with Ben Kelly.
This is but great one audio. Of those,
past champion. I'm working on it, guys. I'm trying here. Nonetheless, he's from 20 minutes down the road. Hasn't had the best 2024 season. And it was a hometown race for him. Dude, he showed up and he's like the silent assassin, super kind guy, very spiritual, you know, very just a good, wholesome guy. Mm-hmm. He was on fire out there on his gas. And him, Stu Baylor came across the line, I'd say a Dunlop Nobby between him and Jordan Ashburn. It was a barn.
It was that close.
It was great. It was a great race. And Johnny Girard, sick or not, man, fought back all the way to third. He actually collapsed right after the finish line right in front of me. I dropped the microphone and was like, do I need to get you something? And he couldn't even make words. Like, he, I guess, had been throwing up all morning long.
He's just depleted at that point, yeah.
Yeah, they actually, I was talking to Caleb Woods' mother, and there's a term called GNCC stomach. That is a common thing that those guys face where they deplete their bodies so much over the course of a race that their stomachs almost start to seize up on themselves. And yeah, it can cause all kinds of issues. Caleb ended up having to go to the hospital for it after the last round. And so, nonetheless, a great finish. Stu's a fan favorite. It's not hard to figure out why once you talk to him or you hear some of his interviews. The guy is just all personality. And it was great for him to get his first win of the season. He's second in points and has kept it under so they get 30 points per race win in GNCC. Yeah. He's got it at just about the 22, 23-point mark right now. So he's got work to do. Johnny Girard's been on the gas, but now he's got momentum. Really seems like he's got his new Kawasaki figured out. The team's firing well. So great race out there from the Old Gray, man. It was awesome. I got to see Kevin Kelly and all of the Moose Racing folks out there. They were doing some unveiling of the new line of Agroid gear that's going to be coming out later in the year.
Neat.
So all of their factory athletes were rocking brand new stuff. They had one of their guys with the big gimbal that comes up over his head to hold his camera steady. It was pretty cool. I'd never seen one of those in person. Okay. But Moose doing their thing, a huge name out in the off road world, and excited to see what they've got coming out the rest of the year. That stuff looked really good. But man, yeah, like I said, brand new location, had some great concerts, and all in all, a good time out at the Old Gray GNCC.
Ironic that the new location is called Old Gray. It immediately sounds like it's been around for a country mile. So that's pretty cool. I'm glad to see that there's some new rounds on the series, and they're going to new places, bringing GNCC racing to just different fans, new fans, people that might not have seen it before, getting more people into the sport at a different capacity. Maybe you're disenchanted with the fact that you might go to a local motocross race and only see the track three or four times off road. Although maybe not my cup of tea. Basically that's off of like the skill set. I just don't. I'm no good in the woods, so. Ergo, I don't go there. Although it's really funny that in the last 24 months, the only race that I have been in was an off-road race, which is the Gypsy 500.
Catch the fever, baby.
Yeah,
I'm telling
the
you.
Fever. Hey, I definitely got my seat time, and so did everybody else who rode my bike. Thank you very much.
It's good for it. Builds character.
Absolutely.
It's funny. We had
It builds a parts bill as well.
Yes, this is true. This is true. We were trying. So Chris Landers, who actually owns the facility there at the Old Gray, opened up a brand new KTM dealership in town, Landers KTM. So we had the Ryan Dungey right there down the road. KTM, their second rider, Dante Oliveira, was not joining us this weekend. I was seeing a lot of connections here, but Dunge didn't do it. He didn't show up. I thought he was going to be there on Sunday. I was teasing it, and he let me down. But it's all right. I understand. We got him out there. He was signing autographs. But, yeah, it was a good time out there, man, a new location. But record turnout, actually, I heard from a brand-new location. So in the AM bike race, which is before the pro afternoon race, we had over 640 bikes on the track at one time.
Wow. That is impressive. Yep. That's good to see. Both the J-Day event that we're going to do with Verbadilla and GNCC, they've seen a huge upturn in both interest and ridership in the last 10 years. And we could get to a whole podcast on the fact that, like, back in the day when it was like Steve Hatch and like Rodney Smith, that like riding off-road couldn't be more uncool, with like everyone was just wearing like really like not great looking MSR gear, and like the helmets were brutal. Everyone's rocking pro grip stuff. Whereas now, like, there's cool stuff to be worn. The sport just looks so much more appealing. And on the fact that it's a way more laid back atmosphere, you get your seat time. Like I said, we could go on for hours about that, but we got to talk about Supercross.
Ooh,
we got,
man,
a brand new championship on our hands with four rounds to go. Supercross all tied up at 261 points, baby.
And I tell you what, it's not just because he's a local boy for me, but if there was one dude that I don't think is going to be phased mentally, if there's one dude that I feel like can show up a little extra physically if he needs to when he's in the hunt like this, it's Cooper Webb, man. I mean, you know, this t-shirt, baby, jacket off, if you know what I'm saying. It's full on. The guy's got the one-liners. I mean, if he's
got the smirk,
is
bad.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. He's got that little smile going. That is dangerous. And so I I'm excited to see it. It was a good race. We had a live showing there at the track, and it's, you know, just like always, man, when that guy needs to show up, he's there. And I mean, you know, good ride from Jet, didn't get the start he needed and worked his way through the pack. But from a fan and I can't imagine from a commentating standpoint, you can't draw it up any better than this.
No, yeah. The guys over at Feld are probably just licking their lips. They're like, oh, we thought this thing was going to be a runaway, and all of a sudden she's all tied up. I thought it was really funny. The world's greatest Supercross announcer, Lee Diffie, mentioning right off the very hop that Jet was 12 seconds back, and to keep an eye on that. Well, he finished 14 seconds back. For anyone who thought that him being in 12th and 12 seconds back, okay, if you do the math, first of all, counting chickens, never a good idea when they're not hatched yet. The gap actually didn't change. Yes, Jet was able to make his way up to the fourth place spot. Probably should have got a little bit more physical with Jason Anderson in the final corner and able to secure that fourth place position. But as far as being able to catch the leaders, honestly, he didn't do it. Like, those guys, they had pace, and on a track that was very difficult to pass on, Jet was able to make some passes, mostly from guys who were actually moving backward toward him rather than moving through those guys. And, it turns out that we have a championship that's not only tied up, but Chase Sexton, at this point in the championship last year, was further behind than he is right now. So don't look now, but there's a three-rider battle down the stretch that could totally happen, which is great for everybody watching. We're gonna have races over the next 4 weeks, at 4 weeks in a row. That's gonna create great storylines for the podcast, especially when in the 450 class, especially when you have maybe the most boring 250 main event that anyone's ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, all the haters, they're gonna have the work cut out for them. Danger Boy was on the gas, dude.
Yeah,
I mean. Yeah, no hate comms here, man. Like I said, I have always said that guy has got insane skills from the first Supercross, where he went around that 180 so damn quick. I mean, launching it there at Ironman, the kid's got it. He's got the send ability. He's got everything that you're looking for. And I think it's like we've said, a little bit of patience needed. We're going to get that fine tuned. We're going to cut off some of those rough edges. And I really think throughout the course of this year, you're going to see the transformation of this kid. And man, it's exciting. It is exciting to see. He was a good ride, and he did exactly what he needed to.
Absolutely. He did. Yeah. No, you like the consistency, the fitness, the kid's got all the tools. Like you can say what you want about the danger zone or this, that, and the other thing. I think maybe the only thing that you might be able to poke a hole in on this particular race, or not maybe this particular race, but like was Danger Boy maybe like a not the best, like in hindsight, he's going to age out of Danger Boy, right? Like, we're not going to be calling him Danger Boy when he's like 30.
I was
30.
Just about to say that. When I was saying we were going to see the transformation, I was trying to think in my head of like a good name, but,
Danger Man.
Yeah. Hey, like, hey, there's Hayden. I don't know. I mean, it's like, yeah, I definitely think what I've always said is I think, Danger Boy has the, and I don't want to say this to make him sound like he is the evil to good, if that makes sense. But you have Jet, and it's
he's
like
the villain, all right.
Yeah, it's setting up perfectly. You have Jet, clean cut, well spoken, light, fluffy Australian guy. He's got Red Bull on his side, this, that, and the other thing. And then you've got the, you know, standing in the blue corner is you know, Monster Energy, Metal Militia, and you know, I'm not scared, man. I'll come in. I don't care who you are. I'm ready for it. You know, it's got that, you know. I don't
we
want
need
to call
a chest protector with the spikes.
The spikes. We got to get it. We got to make it happen, man. I mean, and that's what I mean. Like, I think whether it's Danger Boy or not, I do think just based off of the way the timeline's going to go, because it's going to be – Jet's going to be the vet, right? He's going to be not old, but he's going to have been in the 450 class for a while by the time Danger Boy moves up. And it's like – you know, now you got this new kid on the block. He's pissed off. He's cocky, and he's come to jack up the program. I mean, it's literally, you know, he is going to be the kid where, you know, I think some of the media coaching gets a little overdone, but dude, I think Brian's going to be like, you need to walk in there and be like, I'm here to mess things up. I am.
Oh
here
no,
to
he needs to walk
screw
in
everybody's
like
weekend up. And
Johnson walks in the room 5 minutes before he does.
Yes. The villain. I mean, dude, I think people don't understand how important that is, man. It's like you don't get it's funny. I was listening to a podcast with The Rock. I think it was a Joe Rogan podcast, and he was talking about how important the villain is and the anti is to the hero in wrestling and stuff like that. And it's the same thing here from a storyline perspective. It's like, you know, everybody likes to ask, "Oh, who's your favorite rider? Like, what's your favorite rider to cheer for? What's your least favorite rider? Who's the guy that you flip the bird to as he comes by?" You know, it's are you a Stank Dog lover? Or are you a Stank Dog hater? What do you feel about the Hill brothers? Like, there's certain riders that have these polar. Cooper Webb, a perfect example. There's a lot of people that hate Cooper Webb, and I mean, probably beside Danger Boy as far as the current 450 class, maybe Jason Anderson with the earlier past, but. Dude, he is the perfect cigarette in the mouth cowboy, you know, but the cowboy dressed in all black. He's got the black cowboy hat on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he's the one that busts into the saloon and calls the dude out.
Absolutely. Well, there's always two different, like, obviously personalities comes out. Like, you have guys who score the touchdown and they hand the football to the ref. And then there's guys who spike it so damn hard you thought they were going to put it through the crust of the earth. Like, there's And there's fans of both. There's people who every time that Travis Kelce spikes the ball or Gronk or any of those guys, absolutely drives them nuts. And then and there's also people who every time that Barry Sanders just handed the football to the referee, they're like, "Ah, oh, that's lame." Blah blah blah. Act like scoring a touchdown is a cool thing to do. So you're gonna get hate either way. But honestly, I love that, and maybe that's like it's a reflection of how I play. Is that like when Cooper Webb scores, like he's got that look on his face, like, "Ah, you like when I do that to you, huh?" Like, does that taste nice? Like, oh man, there used to be this thing
and,
back
and
in the
I
day.
Also, I don't like the lippy. Like, he's not the chatterbox, but that little raise up right there, dude, it says so much. It says
a little grin,
so much.
Maybe a little wink. Like, he's got like, sometimes you gotta jack it off. Why not?
Jack it off sometimes, you know?
Yeah, why not? Like, honestly, like, it's so funny. This is total like tangent. Side story here. We used to play against this team in beer league hockey called the Backflipping Squirrels. They all have hilarious names. But the goalie was just a total mental midget. And I used to abuse that guy's five hole like no tomorrow. And his girlfriend was on the team. First of all, she was a stunner. And then the one time I scored on him and I'm heading back to the bunch. I look at him like, you like when I do that to him, don't you? And she just looks at me like,
oh, hockey and, chatter is probably the best. Dude.
Oh, it's the best.
Oh man.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you like when I do that to him. And she kind of looks at me like, I kind of do.
It's funny, man. That's probably how Cooper's looking at Jacob Hayes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, you're a North Carolina boy, whether you want to admit it or not.
Yeah.
You
like, no this. Doubt. Yeah.
It's cool, man. I love it. I think it's like I said, I mean, kind of not a snooze fest, but it's been, you know, not the most exciting in the 450 class. And all of a sudden it's like, man, what the hell? We got a championship battle on our hands.
The series like snuck up on us because it's been like, there's either been domination or there's been like just kind of like wrenches being thrown in randomly. Yep. Because like we have a ton of winners. You know, all of a sudden we've like Chase has a win. Eli has a win. Roxon has a win. All these guys are kind of firing, but they're not like, not everyone's firing on all cylinders. And then you got Jet, who's just like this generational talent who's still sort of finding his feet. It's really, really neat to see. And, we are the benefactors by seeing this. And it's time to hijack this segment to bring in the Racetech Suspension Engines Block Pass. And, I'm just gonna do a little golf claps for Mitchell Harrison, who, people forget this was a highly touted amateur rolled in and he was a star racing athlete. He has podiums, in the 250 class. He's now a 450 racer for the PRMX Kawasaki team. And boy, did he give Bursch the business. Like, there's not a lot of people who can say that they really T-boned Justin Barsha and left him on the ground. He did not go down, which I was very surprised that both of them didn't end up on the ground. And then Barsha stared him down for a good 10 seconds. Minimum.
You know, I am a big fan of karma. You know, what comes around goes around. And I'm not saying that of anything late with Justin Barsha. I mean, the Jet thing, I do think that was kind of equal on both sides. Jet cut down. We actually saw he did that.
He did that again.
Yeah, was that Eli or
Eli almost like destroyed him?
Yeah, almost just blasted him. And so that is something that I think falls on Jet.
He might want to reevaluate that strategy going forward.
Yes. But man, I love it, dude. I think we need more bravado of like physicality in motocross, dude. I mean, I was a huge Tyler Bowers fan.
More Tyler Evans.
Yeah, exactly, dude. And it's not, I don't want fights. But there is something about, I've said it before, there is nothing scarier than a man fully prepared to get his ass beat. If you come into it and you are say, hey, man, I'm going to have to make contact. Barsha, Vince Freese, if you're going to have to get near him, you're going to have to put him on their ass. That's all there is to it. And it takes kind of a man to nut up or shut up in a way and say, hey, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your reputation is. You're in my way and I'm a racer. Move. And if you don't move, you're going to get moved. Right. And so Barsha can stare all day long, but dude, I wouldn't want to hear anything about it. And I mean, you know, it's, I've seen enough cat fights. No, you get a handful of that hair, you can probably handle business. So, I'm a big fan, man. Like I said, that's a pretty loud golf clap for me because I just like to see, and not again, no hate towards Justin Barsha. Like I think he's a good guy and a good rider and stuff like that, but it's like what comes around goes around. Everybody's going to be on both ends of the stick at some point. Sometimes you're giving it, sometimes you're taking it. And it's, you know, this was just one of those days where Barsha was getting served. So, I think it's cool.
No, I honestly, Mitchell Harrison is fighting for his own place in this world and the motocross community to continue. He's had to come up to Canada. He's had success there. And he wants to continue to be a journeyman in the 450 class and make a living racing dirt bikes. And if that means getting physical, every now and then, that's just the reality of the job. I know that there's a famous saying in hockey is if they don't take fighting out of hockey, then they're going to have to make bigger arenas.
Yeah. And
people love to watch it. People like, I don't like to see it. Like, nah. And when two guys that are 6'5" drop the mitts and square off, everybody's standing. Everybody's
I don't know how much of a UFC follower you are, but Max Holloway.
I love the physicality of it.
Dude, yeah, Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje, I didn't get to see the whole fight, but Holloway has done this in a couple of fights where he walks to the center of the octagon and he points down to the center of the octagon. And he's basically saying, hey, we're going to stand here and we're going to swing out till one of us loses consciousness. There ain't going to be no tapping out. There ain't going to be any save by the bell. And him and Justin Gaethje went toe for toe and went to work. And he absolutely annihilated Justin with, I believe it was a right hand. But it's like, that's the stuff that I want. Because while he's pointing right there, he is just as likely to get his ass knocked out as Justin was. But
when you're just swinging for the fences, no defense.
But it takes somebody to sit there and be like, you know what, dude? We are fighters. I'm not here to try to hold you in a cradle on points and win, you know, by that. I want a knockout. I want you to stand here and either put me to sleep or get put to sleep. And it's just, I like that, man. I like that confidence. Max is a very, very kind person as well. He's not the type of guy where he's super, super cocky and this, that, and everything. But, man, that was just – it was a cool performance, and I think I've actually said it on this podcast before. I remember when Bowers hit Webb in the 250 class, he was like, hey, somebody's got to play the bad guy, and I fit the part pretty well. And it's like, dude, I like that.
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. I think that holds a lot of water. It actually reminds me, and I'm going to link – this is a very unrelated – video that I will link to this podcast when I put it out on Big MX Radio, for the Big MX Radio feed on the, for both iTunes as well as Spotify. I'll put the URL to one of my favorite, and it's also one of the most haunting videos that I've ever seen. Because I used to date a girl whose brother was an enforcer in the AHL, which is the step of the hockey league that's just below the NHL, which is obviously the highest league ever. His name is Miles Stays, and he was Mr. No Defense. Him and this guy named John Morasti, they're both from Manitoba, where I'm from. And these guys literally punch each other in the face at least 20 times without stopping the other one. Not a single block, nothing.
Yeah, just I'm taking gonna punch hits you in the
face.
And giving hits.
You're going to punch me in the face. One of us is going to go down. And Miles didn't, and so that I kind of minded my P's and Q's around his sister after that.
Yeah, I bet the fuck no, so. Holy no. shit!
Yeah, no, the kid was like him and I were the same age, and he was like my, 4 inches on me. And
my first like serious girlfriend in high school, her dad was a professional cage fighter, and he is the nicest guy. He does woodworking during the week. He can like carve you a rocking swing out of the oak of your choice, and then absolutely beat
that's how he deals with the
out of everybody. I mean,
he deals with the stress now.
Yeah, it was she doesn't talk to me anymore, but he still wishes me Merry Christmas every year. Just super nice guy. I love him to death, but it's funny, man. You see those people that have that quiet confidence. He's never going to be the guy to start a fight. He's never going to be the guy that you see yelling. It's that silent guy where he's, you know, you step up towards a lady or you step up towards the, you know, one of the employees, he's going to stand up and he's going to walk over there. He ain't going to say anything. He's just going to walk over there. And then if you lock up with him and decide we want to go, you're going to get everything you asked for and then something. That's for sure. But it was cool, man. Like I said, got to give props to it. I think that's showing confidence. And like you said, he's finding his way, finding his spot here.
He's in A-practice. Get out of my fucking way, Marsha.
Exactly. Move or be moved. So. But now it is time for my personal favorite part of the podcast, the Verb Thought Line. This is where we get to hear all of your questions at home. I know I had a couple sent to me. I actually had somebody ask me one in person, but I answered it right there. So we're not gonna do that one. But if you guys have a burning question that you want answered, you can submit it to at VerbMoto on Twitter, or you can send it directly to our man B-Rad. He's trying to be rad over at brad@verbmoto.com. And if you do it on Twitter, just throw that hashtag VerbLine so we know exactly where to file it.
Makes it easier for us. We don't like to work very hard.
Yeah. But all right, who we got up first?
All right. So we've got Devin Ferbery out of Arkansas or Arkansas, depending on how.
Arkansas, Bo. Come on now.
Depending on how you want to pronounce it. But he gets straight to the point. No nonsense with Devin here. He goes, is Cooper Webb the most disrespected two-time 450 Supercross champion in sports history? And I'd have to say yes. Because based on how much, just fanfare and even to this day, his YouTube channel, I would venture to guess that if Cooper Webb had a YouTube channel covering his kids and doing all this, like the way that Chad Reed does. Like Chad Reed, and I love Chad Reed. He is so much more celebrated of a pro. And yes, he has a lot more wins than Cooper Webb does, but Cooper Webb's not done anytime soon. But every single year, regardless of how many championships he's won, how many races he's won, whether he changes teams, doesn't change teams, we doubt Cooper Webb. And I'm starting to ask myself why, because the guy just delivers. He is poignant. He gets the job done. Okay. Maybe he's not the fastest in qualifying, although that has changed somehow. He is absolutely the most disrespected two-time champ in the sport's history, without a doubt.
So I'm kind of torn because I feel like as far as active racers, like as far as racers in the field currently still racing, like when Chad was still racing and stuff like that, I would agree. I feel like every year he's not talked about. He's not mentioned as a threat. He's not mentioned even like the year following his championships. It's like, oh, he's probably got a hangover from his championship. He's probably got this. He's probably got that. And I mean, quite honestly, a lot of it, I think, goes back to the post that he made when AC announced his retirement. This has been the story of his life. This kid, and he's said it multiple times. I tell you what, and if I had Adam Cincerello's phone number, I'd text him. But once he retires down the road, I want Adam Cincerello and Cooper Webb on the Unplugged podcast. I think that would be
those guys need to do 2 hours.
Damn cool. Just to see, because I mean, that is my generation. Those guys are like a year older than me. And when I say I got detention in Miss Bunch's world history class because I was watching a Minio's edit on verboto.com of AC, Cooper Webb, and Dakota Alex all going at it. And it's like, man, I was obsessed with those guys. Cooper being a local boy, anytime he was selling his 150s, if somebody got a Cooper bike, oh my God, dude, you got a Cooper bike. It says JGR on the side of it. Like, it was the coolest thing ever. And so, but you go to the national level and it was all AC. That's the kid. That's the dude. And so he's even said it before. He likes that chip on his shoulder. In a lot of ways, he puts it there.
He doesn't let anyone take it off, actually.
Yeah. Even if we were talking about him, he's still going to go in like they're doubting me. They don't know. They don't understand. And so to me, I think it's yes, but I think it's exactly what he wants. I don't think he's ever sitting there.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
I wish I had more media coming over here talking to me and stuff like that. I think he is absolutely fine with it, and I think he's absolutely fine at giving some of the media members shit later in the year too, where he's like, "Oh, wait a second, where were you in round one? Like, oh no, you were over there talking to so and so, right? You thought it was going to be this guy. Well, here we are." And so I think that's pretty cool because he's got his confidence. He knows what he's capable of doing. Now, I will say, post-career, I'm extremely annoyed about the disrespect to Ryan Villopoto. He is never mentioned in stats. The guy was an absolute animal for years, both indoors and outdoors. I feel like he gets a lot of disrespect and just not being mentioned when past dominant champions are brought up. So
the only two championships that he didn't win, where he raced all the races, actually no, three championships, his rookie year in Supercross, both 250s and 450s, and his last year in 250 Supercross when shit went sideways and Trey Canard happened. Aside from that, if he raced all the races, he won, period.
Dude, it's and that's what I mean. That guy, maybe it's something to do with the number two, man. I don't know. Everybody knew who Jeremy was, though. There were plenty of people talking about him, but I don't know. But as far as active champions racing, yes, I will 100% agree with you there, Devin. Next on the list, we got Greg McMillan coming out of New York. So that's Gregory. I don't know how they'd say
Gregory,
it.
Gregory, yeah. He's seen a few multiples in his day.
Dude, you know, that was actually JJ's roommate there for a while before
Stay
he
off
went retired.
The track. I don't have to say it again.
I will come down there and smack you myself. JJ, we miss you, buddy. He said, did you put y'all – when you were putting this on the sheet here, Brad, because if he's from New York, he ain't y'alling us.
He might y'all us. You don't know.
He might be.
I'm just copy and pasting from the
email. He didn't put what part of New York he's from. There's some redneck parts of New York, too. So
he's probably from New Berlin.
Maybe.
See him at Burbadilla.
Working at Chobani. So he said, if y'all could make one change to the current AMA rule book, what would it be and why? I'll be honest, I don't know the rule book inside and out as well as I should, but I don't agree with the helmet cam rule. I personally, I would like to see the statistics, put numbers in front of me and explain it to me so that even I can understand it. Maybe I'll agree, but everything that I have heard and that I have seen and that I have experienced crashing, believe it or not, I've eaten shit with the GoPro on my head several times. The audio that they catch when you're laying on the ground moaning is always so much better than anything else. Always, oh God, that happened. But nonetheless, to
it's
me,
Damon Bradshaw's bike, I just fucked up.
Yes, yes. I mean, how are we supposed to get content like that if we don't have them right there?
This is what I'm missing out on.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know, the GoPro Moto Instagram account has just really got me fired back up about it. It's like, dude, it's such a great perspective up there. I don't like the chin mount.
And chest mounts look lame to wear.
Well, I don't think they look lame. I think if you get the angle right, they're cool, but they are extremely difficult, like, to keep the riders comfortable. Like, they start rubbing really bad.
Like they're...
None of the GNCC people do them. They actually will take a helmet cam mount and put it on a chest protector and then slice their jersey and pop the camera through their...
You've told me about this, yes.
...jersey. Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting to see. But
wouldn't that bounce around a lot? Because your chest protector is not, like, fixed to you.
What I was thinking, but I don't know, man. I haven't seen a camera from something like that. But that would probably be mine just because, man, I miss it. I miss the GoPros. I see, you know, old, like, 2013 and 2014 photos of Stu and Villopoto and those guys, and everybody had GoPros.
We literally have helmet cam footage of Villopoto and Stu, like, battling tooth and nail.
Yes, yes, and from both perspectives, too. Like, that's the cool thing was you could see – like the post-race abilities for that. And by now, I would think the ability to chime in live has got to be getting
the fact that we
out.
Don't have live helmet cam, but we did in 2005 is absolutely ludicrous.
It's ridiculous. And so, that's the thing for me is it's like, man, I'm all about safety. I'm a huge, you know, I agree with it. And like I said, show me the facts with a serious test study number.
Sure.
I'll change my opinion right here publicly for everybody. But until I see that, man, I think it is a bit of an overreaction. And I think it's a more of a, hey, we're more scared of liability than we are of
that's
actually
really comes down to.
Allowing, absolutely. Yeah, allowing people to show this sport. So that'd be my one.
Certainly. Mine, it's been beaten to death and a bit of low hanging fruit, especially because I mix gas haul ass. But, at this point in their competitiveness, I think that 252 strokes should belong in the 250F class. Like, and if that was the case, you could make an honest argument about the fact that, you could open up a job that, like, Star Racing Yamaha would have a basically a program set aside for one of their riders to be on a 252 stroke and then compete in that class or gas or KTM. And that would not only showcase their product better than it already currently does, because as of right now, like say, whether it's Stank Dog or Jared Lesher, like they're bringing a knife to a gunfight, which is still like, it's a little bit of a dog and pony show because people will walk by and they'll get a t-shirt from Jared or whatever it happens to be. But it's, it's currently not getting, it's like the market, there's so much missing there because there are a segment of fans who still love the smell. They love the look of it. They love the sound. And I think that that is something that could be changed very easily. That would like, and I'm not saying that it's still to this point, if you put, say Daxon Benick. You put Daxon Benick on a 252 stroke, he doesn't go from fifth to first. He probably goes from fifth to fifth. Like, it's once he gets used to the bike, I don't think it's
that.
Any different.
I disagree with that.
Really?
Personally, just because you got to think, when's the last time Dax Benick probably rode a two stroke? 85s, maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't know. I especially for the as two guys that don't ride supercross.
Yeah.
I feel like supercross, I could see it having a pretty serious disadvantage. Now, outdoors, different ballgame. I could maybe get down with that. But again.
So you think he does even worse on a 252 stroke?
Yes. Yes. I would.
Then why not leave that, not let that bike ride the class then?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm 100% on board with it. I know, Thor Powell is riding a YZ 252 stroke for Yamaha this year. He's doing some moto, some wood stuff. Right. And same thing. That's what he was talking about.
Schoolboy one.
No, I think Schoolboy one's 125 only.
Or okay, you ride Schoolboy two. Or 250B. I'm pretty sure you can ride. Yes, you can ride You can ride 252 stroke and 250B. That was the whole thing with Malcolm Stewart when he rode one of James' bikes.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know the rules well enough to really be able to argue it too much, but I agree with what you're saying. Because to me, I don't see an advantage anymore with the 252 stroke. Now, I don't know. Even Loretta's, I don't really see, because I know there was a lot of talk about that. Like there was, you know, you had to have, if you were a 252 stroke, you raced 450 class at Loretta's, at least the year I went, I thought. So I don't know. It's definitely, I think to your
The argument is that not all manufacturers make one. So if you change the rule, then you're making a rule that favors Yamaha and the KTM group, which I'm like, okay, but you guys made a four stroke rule that basically the only company that was putting any research and development into four strokes was Yamaha. Like literally Honda didn't come out with one for another 2 years later. So like,
well, and that's what I mean. I don't know. It's not like they're playing favorites.
KTM didn't have a four stroke until 2005.
If it's that big of a deal, like Jesus Christ, Suzuki could break out the 05 again and it'd be the exact same as the four stroke. Like just,
sure.
I mean, if you're not making new bottles, just keep making the old models at this point. So, So I don't know. Those are both of them are interesting ones. It's funny. It'd be cool to be able to have probably not a recorded conversation with members of the AMA to really figure out what people think and stuff like that. But, I agree with both of our opinions. Who we got next here? Stuart Givensberg coming out of Iowa.
Givensberg. It's like Givensberg. He is highbrow as fuck.
Stuart Givensberg asks, of the current crop of amateurs, who has the highest ceiling or most potential?
That is actually, we got some heavy hitters coming up.
I was about to say, dude, I don't really know. I mean, it's so hard to the thing that always rings in my head when people ask about this is, you know, Ryan Dungey, Villopoto, these guys that were not superstars growing up, you know? And so for me, what we were talking about with Cooper Webb though. I mean, it's like I would still consider Cooper Webb to be a hot shot of amateurs growing up, but it's almost like the second place guy is the one that maybe feels a little slighted. Like, you know, you had the Alessi and then Villopoto and then the way that changes and then the Ciancerello Webb thing. And so I don't know. I mean, obviously, we both know Jaden Smart's haul in the mail, like young kid. I'm very curious to see as he grows and moves into older classes. He was, I don't know if it was his first ride, like first race on it or not, but he was on a Yamaha 85 at World Mini, dominated, hauled in his classes. But then, you know, if you were to take him and put him in the class with a Wyatt Duff, with a Reese Seba, some of those guys, I don't know. The intensity just hasn't quite made it there yet. You know, I like grinders, not grinder.
You would like grinder.
Grinders, guys that grind. Okay. All right. This is just getting worse. The more I say, nonetheless, but the name that I was going to talk about was, Grayson Townsend, dude. I got to meet his family out at World Mini, and he seems like a very humble guy that wants to do work, right? He wants to put in the work, doesn't seem cocky, doesn't seem full of himself, super young, just moved up to the big bike and is, I mean, ripping on that thing. So he's somebody that I could see potential for, but I'll be the first to admit, I don't agree. I don't really think that you can predict ceilings. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's, quite honestly, I think it just screws with the riders more. Like we see, I'm starting to see some of that in the amateur off-road side of things too. You have the next big thing that's got the factory sponsorships and stuff like that. And then when you move up, it just, sometimes it doesn't always correlate. So I don't know. I mean, do you have anybody that's just jumping out to you? Like I'm trying not to think of like Supercross Futures people or stuff like that. Like I'm trying to think a little further back where the average viewer maybe hasn't been exposed to them.
I think this is one kid that I think he operates in general kind of obscurity. He doesn't come out for as many races as maybe a lot of people would like him to. But I think that's strategic, and it's Seth Dennis. I think yeah. Seth Dennis is a kid that a lot of people sort of forget about when they think of like, oh, who's that hotshot like amateur, because they he's not top of mind all the time. When the gate drops, he goes faster than those around him. Period. Yeah. Full stop. And now he's on four strokes. I think he put about a year on 125, so he never actually raced one, mainly because they couldn't keep him together. The KTMs, not to shit on KTM whatsoever, although I don't take a check from any manufacturer. He told me point blank, we can't keep the bike together. So like they just skipped that portion. Had he been on a different manufacturer, or maybe they had more development. Like this is obviously the fuel injected 125 or the 150.
Right.
That was also the reason why Kevin Benoit didn't race it in the Canadian Nationals, is that they were just going through cranks like no tomorrow. So it's not a Seth Dennis problem. It was they probably needed a little bit more tooling on the KTM side. So now he's on four strokes. He's going to be 250B schoolboy one, and I think he's going to show up to Loretta's and put everybody on notice. And if that's who essentially like that athlete is of last year, that was Drew Adams, who we're going to get to later, a bit later in the podcast. Then this time next year, we're talking about Seth Dennis, very successful in Supercross futures,
yep.
who then parlays that into a pro career. I think he has a ton of potential and it's not yet realized. He's a guy that's, he's probably on a lot of people's radars, but should probably be over and above that. I also want to talk about one thing that I just looked up, which is James Stewart's final year at the ranch, 2001. And with all due respect to not only his competition, but James himself, he beat a bunch of fucking nobodies. Nicholas Adams, all respect to Ryan Mills, third place, Brian Johnson, Sean Collier, Matthew Beavers, never heard of you, Sean Clark, Matt Barnes, Nathan Davenport, and Scott Simon. That's the rest of the top 10 in the 125 mod class 12 to 15. I would expect James Stewart to beat all those guys three motos in a row every time.
Yeah, it's same thing with the pro side of stuff, where it's like we talk about the lack of respect for Cooper, where it's like the depth is so much greater now. There's a lot more love to give out. You know what I mean? Like it was Ricky, James, Chad back in those days. So it was like, if you're going to say, oh, and then you got Kevin Windham, he's a badass too. But you know, and then, but it was like now, man, if you're not giving every guy realistically inside the top 10 their respect because they're champions in some way or another, right, then you know you're slighting. Like people mention Cooper Webb, I just don't feel they mention him as much as they should. So right. I don't know, it could be a very similar thing in the amateur field, where we have so many different names. And I think the cool thing with the amateur hype is those kids have clout in their little local circuits. They've got their little local series that they just kick ass at, and then it's like, what do you mean this guy got beat at this race? Like, he's the fastest dude I've ever seen in my life. Well, yeah, buddy, you've also never left Delaware. Like, so, you know, it doesn't really do a ton. And so, it'll be interesting to see as the years go on how things will shake up. Scott Davidson coming out of good old Cali, he asks us, who is the ultimate motocross one-hit wonder? Seven Deuce Dude. Now, he's got a couple of good songs.
Kind on that. It's not Seven Deuce Deuce as far as one hit wonders, although he did have Teddy Parks, that wasn't Ted, on one of his shows or one of his songs, and that might have been a one hit wonder itself. I believe that was a Bike of the Year or Rider of the Year song, available on YouTube. But one hit wonder, I think this is one, and like the easy answer is a guy like Shea Bentley, who won one title and then did, unfortunately, a bunch of nothing. But that was also because of a lot of injuries, like just nonstop injuries after that. In fact, he got hurt a bunch prior to that, and that's why he was number 104, not a two-digit. He didn't even have a two-digit number when he won his championship. He ran one the following year, got escorted off of Kawasaki, and then he was one of the actually only guys who allowed to keep a three-digit number as a permanent. We're not even going to get a fact to the fact that that should be a changed rule. I actually think I just changed my name, choice from question number two. But I'm going to go with Nat Walker.
Oh, okay.
The Stalker,
redheaded stepchild, yeah.
The Stalker got one Supercross win, Houston 2002. Number 68, his first year with Pro Circuit. He stayed there for another 4 years. I think on pure grit and determination, he turned that one race, because he was basically a journeyman privateer prior to that. He had a lot of wins. In fact, he did win one national, which I believe was, or he won one moto at 1999, or maybe it was 2000 High Point. He won one of those races. And he was like kind of a privateer killer. Like he would dice it up with the factory boys a lot. But one win and after he had that one win, he sort of like parlayed that into like two or three other contracts, until essentially he ended up having a really bad injury. He went over the bars in a set of sand whoops, scorpioned himself, and he was never the same after that. But I'll go with Matt Walker. All the respect to him. The guy had like great, cool career. Finished second to James Stewart a bunch of times, but I'm going to go with the Stalker on that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of guys that, because I mean, how do you define a one hit wonder? Like, is it one win? Is it one good season? Is it? I don't know.
I'll tell you what a one hit wonder is. There was only one time throughout their history or the sport's history where everyone was like, "Check this guy out."
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, because I'm trying to think of somebody that like had genuine success. I mean, like you could probably say like an Izzy or a Stroop in a way, like they were there, but
they had
like
a long period of time.
Yeah, they still had a longer
a one hit wonder would be like someone who came out of nowhere and like served those guys their lunch and then went back into obscurity. Like a one hit wonder would be Brandon Jessamine.
Okay.
Like fucking Bill's Pipes, Suzuki, Primal Impulse Suzuki, rode like shit for the most part of his career, came out in the 2003 East Coast Championship, wins it, crushes everybody, and then breaks his arm later on that season, rides for like a few more teams, somehow rides for Pro Circuit for some random season where he's number 77, and then gone. Or if you want to go AMA Supercross only one hit wonder, the 2007 West Coast Championship with Darcy Lange, where he was number 105 and ended up like battling with, I believe it was Ben Townley, or maybe that was the year where it was Grant Langston. That was a title where there was like a possible Canadian to possibly win the championship. Although he does have like four arena cross titles. So I don't know if that's like, those are also hits that he had. Like,
yeah. I don't know. It's definitely hard to say for sure.
Yeah.
I'll keep thinking. If anybody pops into my head, I'll yell at you. Can answer this next one. Cause I don't know a single person that I didn't watch it. The Masters. So
that's okay. Yeah. No, I just thought of that kind of timely. And this question came
across
my desk.
Most people do.
First thing this morning, I guess this guy must have had some money on. Yeah, Travis Jefferson out of Idaho must have had some money on Scottie Scheffler, like I did. I made my $8. Of the current pros, who would you want to play golf with after watching the Masters? Well, honestly,
John Daly, baby.
John Daly, he would be.
Beers and beers.
He is part of that foursome. So I would say it's you and I playing with John Daly and. I'm just going to go ahead and say AC, mainly because you and I are both AC fans. We know he's a golfer.
Cool.
And we would get like some off the record candid conversation with AC.
But I want AC like maybe 6 months into his retirement where he's really starting to let loose a little bit. Like,
oh yeah. No,
like
it's
starting to set in and like he's crushing beers with us. Cause I'll be the first to admit, like, we'll probably make it about hole three, and I'll be like, all right, I'm full-time.
Yeah, where's that beer car girl?
Yep, I am not picking up another fucking club. So, that would definitely be fun.
You're just driving the cart at that point.
Yep, so.
Cool.
We had a race.
Verbline was my favorite.
Verbline's so good.
It's so good. Like, The questions that people come up with.
So many different things. Yeah. Like it brings up so many different topics that like there's no way we could think of this. You know what I mean? Like
what I love is just watching the questions come in, because most of the questions come to my email and I know these are just shower thoughts. Like someone's just like driving and they're like, all right, I got a question for those assholes.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it just sort of like pops out of nowhere. So most of the questions don't really have much of a rhyme or reason. They just sort of like come across, and like I cut out maybe two or three a week. That I really like, that like either we're going to answer anyway, or it's not the best question in the world. I think these ones, there was what, 5 of them today? I think they were all pretty good.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we did have a supercross race. We should probably talk about that, break it down a little more. 250s. We kind of touched on it. Deegs did his thing. Danger Boy checked out Danger Zone. I agree with our note here. Smart Ride from McAdoo. I think it's, you know, the battle of how much risk do I put in making a point versus how much do I think about the big picture of the championship kind of goes back and forth. And I think he's making the right call, especially with his history of getting a little too wild sometimes and hitting the soil. So, I think it was a solid ride from him. I think Vial being ticked off with third is just like we said, that shows this guy is, all of a sudden, I'm not the new kid. I'm not the French kid showing up, you know, just hoping everybody likes me. I'm here, and I'm here to kick your ass. And so I am here to take you, Ricky Bobby, off. I can't do a French accent, but you know what I'm going for there. Mm-hmm. So I was stoked to see him, not really pumped. And then, yeah, Cody Shock signing with Club MX for three more years? Yeah. So I'm
3 years, like, we haven't seen a 3-year deal since, like, AC signed his, like, intent to ride for Kawasaki for the rest of his life.
Well, and if you remember, like, Shock had a long thing going with Phoenix Honda for a while, and then, you know, that kind of all went aside, you know, relatively close proximity is the Club MX guys, and mm-hmm. from what I understand, it sounds like they're all really jiving well, and I think he's doing 450s outdoors, is that correct?
Must. There's no way he's riding
250. I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think be surprising too.
Based on the resources of that team, and I'm not saying they don't build a great 250, I think their resources are better served lighting things up in the 450 class outdoors.
Dude, you put him in Marchbanks on a 450, I think you have some serious threats right there. I mean, all in all, not the most exciting 250 race we've ever seen, but not a bad race by any means.
Yeah. Did you notice that I put Moose Can instead of?
I did. If I had already looked at it earlier, I was like, what the hell is he talking about? But and they are. It's so funny. Like, I even feel like their French dialogue fluctuation, like, it doesn't sound like Purcell. Like,
nope.
It's got, well, like, even.
Like, Purcell was had like a hint of, I hate you.
Yeah. His was just, I don't actually want to be here. But it was. I don't know. I like him. He's respectful. He's got the best number on the face of the planet. And, you know, I mean,
Moosecan is Vial. Vial is Moosecan. They're both French. They're both skinny. They both have hot wives. Like,
yeah.
I don't need a lot in order to basically paint someone with a broad brush here. They're the same person. They both love crepes or really thin pancakes if you choose that. But yeah, he was not pumped with third. And I just have to say to that, good.
Good. Exactly. Yeah. Go full Jocko on him. Cause it's, yeah, if you're not satisfied with a second and with a third, that to me means your head's in the right place. Be appreciative. Right. Don't get me back on my rant. Take the trophy with you, but good. Don't be fully satisfied.
Yeah. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think everyone should be like, if you're not in the position you want to be in, you should be pissed that you're not there.
Exactly. And I don't think there's anything wrong when somebody says, oh, well, you should be happy with second because my kid would kill for a second. Okay, well, your kid would kill for a second because he doesn't believe he can get first. Like, you know? Yeah. And so the future looking bright, dude. It had some fireworks right from practice. How about the real true hero of the Supercross, at least in practice, was that giant pile of freaking mud that everybody was landing right in. But, man, that was – I got to interview Drew Adams at Daytona, and it was kind of very similar. Like, the guy just executes, man. I mean, he just it's business, dude. He showed up to the podium, takes his stuff off. He's not even out of breath. Hey, great ride, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Did a great interview. Boom, off to work. Like, it was This guy is I think got a lot of people talking. It's like, wow, I don't necessarily know if we saw this coming. I know they look similar, but it's just like that Ricky redhead kind of like, it just makes you wonder, man. I don't know. Like, it's just, it's impressive. And his confidence under pressure and his ability to perform repeatedly now here in the futures. Like, I think that is extremely attractive to, excuse me, to, all the teams. It's like, hey, this kid's good, but like, he's consistently good in different conditions. You put him in, I mean, like, I know the Supercross Futures track that they rode at the Ricky Carmichael Daytona Supercross, like, later in the week, it was not the same that they rode before. A little more toned down, so maybe not quite as much to separate, and he still walked away. So it's an impressive performance, man. I'm really, really stoked for him. And on the flip side, you know, somebody like Gavin Towers, you got to feel bad for him, right? Like, it was all supposed to be. And I've heard a lot of speculation as to how the fine lines are decided with his star contract and stuff like that. So, I mean, seems like a good dude. I know Wes Kane absolutely loves him. But he's yeah, he's got a, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I've got nothing bad to say about him, but it's like, he's not.
Yeah, you get the results. Like,
yeah,
and I think he has a very similar deal that Daxon Bennick had, which is kind of a bet on yourself thing.
Yep.
Which, if that's the case, then he might be rolling snake eyes with how this is going, because he's been on the ground or in a pile like that, like the pile of shit from what's it called? Jurassic Park is the exact same as that, and like, that's been his year so far. He's either going down or he's battling tooth and nail with some 16-year-old kid from New Zealand who, like, he had a hell of a ride. Davies was on, was rolling until Fowser was
Fowser. Yeah. Well, I tell you what happened was Luke Fowser went over to the Camp Coker GNCC and got some practice pushing mofos into trees. Okay. And then all of a sudden he showed up. I actually sent a message to, Daniel Blair and was like, dude, your boy was rolling out in the woods. He said he loved it. Came in, was talking all about it, had a great time. But, man, yeah, you want to talk about, like we were talking about with Harrison, as far as not being afraid to make some contact? I love it, dude. We're in the proving stages of our career. I just proved to you how bad I want it.
Yeah.
End of story.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. You know, you take that laying down. Fowser puts Davies in the cheap seats. Although I will say that there aren't any cheap seats at Bell Monster Energy Supercross. Those are all expensive seats. But hey, you're only going to need the edge, because this Force 50 championship has been absolutely off the hook. Yeah. Webb's in the driver's seat, question mark. We touched on this earlier. Jet's still the best guy though. Yes. No.
If you're asking Webb. Yeah. If you're asking Webb, this is just like he drew it up. And I think he is, and I mean, why wouldn't he be? Like, it's like at the end of the day, like if here's the goal and you really don't need your momentum to climb until the end, like, he had his struggles. He had it. It looked, you know, there was questions on his fitness, questions on his comfort, questions on, you know, leaving Alden, doing his, like, so many things. And then it's like, now, and not to mention, at the same time, you have this being that is Jet Lawrence, where it's like, oh my God, with every passing race, he's more and more untouchable. You know, the tiny, minute things that he's doing wrong, he's fixing. And then you've got Coop, where he just shows up and, oh yeah, oh yeah. I love it. Yep. And so, typical Coop fashion, it's not anything flashy, really. Although I think, you know, getting the practice time, getting the fastest lap times, and then going and all night just proving the point. Yeah. I don't know. I think we're going to find out the mental strength Jet's got. I'll put it like that. I mean, I do like the respect that those guys have for one another. I've never heard Jet say a bad word about Coop, and I've never heard Coop really say a bad word about Jet. They both look each other as fierce competitors, and that's what I mean, man. They both do and should have confidence at an all-time high. I'm stoked, man. We are in the driver's seat right now, dude. We are in the driver's seat just enjoying the ride, because it is – you can't ask for two things better than this. I think Coop is fired up, and is Jet on his –
I wish we were going to Nashville.
Dude, I've got three buddies that are going, and said, no, as long as you stroke the check for them, I've canceled a couple shows. I'm not scared. Look at him over here pondering.
He want to go.
Last second flights to Nashville. I mean, realistically, I could just bring the guitar. I could probably find another show out there. We can just just knock it out. Two for one.
What's the municipal laws on busking?
I actually did. I had to get a permit for that in South Carolina.
You can't just busk. Like
can't get caught.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only a problem when you're good, apparently. Like, because there's some random dude plays a fiddle with one string all through Charlotte, and I know he's probably not got a permit.
Yeah, he's just hanging outside of the liquor commission.
Going down to Georgia.
He only burn and ring of fire. There's a burn and ring of fire guy locally who just like he literally just hangs out in one of like the skyways because like it gets so cold here where you like walk between buildings in this like kind of like walk like the skywalks and he just plays he plays the chorus of Burning Ring of Fire nonstop after Winnipeg Jets hockey games. I'm not too sure if you're prepared for this or not. It's been on the agenda that we go off of the show outline since the very beginning. But I'll throw this on you now. Who has been your biggest surprise and who has been your biggest disappointment of the 450 class in 2024 Supercross, knowing that a surprise can also be a disappointment? So what is yours?
Well, at the beginning of the season, I think my biggest surprise was Dylan Ferrandis. Now, it's funny because I see a lot of hate comms on Dylan, and I consider David Elder a friend of mine, as you know, off camera and everything like that. And I feel like
for those guys, by the way,
we'll get to that. I'm getting heated up. I'm on the boiler right now. But I think if Dylan wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing and he was ducking racing, we'd know about it. Like I'd know about it. Let me put it like that. And David was at one of the GNCCs and told me like, no, he was sick, like sick. And it came out of nowhere. And so, I hate that because I felt like he had a lot of good momentum going. I would say Ferrandis was probably my biggest surprise in a good way. I don't know what to say about Eli. Like, I think as much as I want to be surprised that he didn't come out swinging faster, I'm not, because I just don't feel like that's Eli's style. But I did think by now he would have been a little better consistently, if that makes sense. Not that he's been terrible, but it's Eli Tomac, you know? And so I would probably say those two guys. Good on Dylan Ferrandis, really putting a solid performance. And I hope when he comes back, he's able to just jump right back into that. Just as much because I like the Phoenix guys as I want Dylan to be successful. And as far as Tomac goes, like, you know, oh, you got fifth and I thought you were going to get third. But, you know, it's kind of one of those deals where I did kind of think he was going to be a little more in this fight on the big end. But I'm not mad to, you know, for him to be playing spoiler. I'll put it like that, for him to jump up and, you know, if he gets in between these two guys in one way or another, the fact that you have Eli getting supposedly more comfortable and then now his teammate is the, you know, in the points lead. Like, I don't know. I just think it could be good. We'll see how it plays out. But now to touch on what you just said a second ago, we've got the vented plate, let it out vent session. If you guys, thing I have been really good
vented
to see
plates are sick, by the way,
fucking badass. And one thing I've really liked is Verb Moto, Racer X, Loretta Lynn's, GNCC. Everybody have posted on their social media about this. But Phoenix Racing Honda, they're not far down the road from me in Salisbury, North Carolina. They got broken into last night. I've been fortunate enough to go over and see their facility and right in their showroom. They had somewhere like 14 to 15 many different championship bikes. I'm talking, I want to say they had a David Bailey bike in there. They had obviously numerous Kyle Peters bikes from the Arena Cross series. I mean, just tons and tons of historic bikes that have sentimental value that cannot be ever matched. You know what I mean? Yeah. And group of absolute thugs and goons broke in last night, broke the door down and stole every one of them. You know, it's, I don't know what the rest of the country looks like, but here in the Southeast, it seems like the theft for motorcycles, specifically like motocross bikes, has just skyrocketed. And dude, if mad doesn't even begin to come close. I was at a race last year, Central North Carolina. Saturday we have open practice. Sunday we go racing. I go home Saturday afternoon. I come back Sunday morning. Seven fucking bikes had been stolen overnight. Everything from, and it's, I mean, dude, like, you're taking a fucking 50. Like, you just ruined a kid's, like, whole, like, it's a kid,
that's
man.
Starring.
Like it's just like
core
it's
memory.
Just, well, and I tell you what scarring is when a camper that also has a trailer in the back end of it gets broken into and they steal the bike out of the back of the camper that the family is sleeping in. Because what happens if dad walks out back and catches them? Because, you know, more than likely he's probably not packing. And the guy that's showing up to steal as many motorcycles as he can, God knows what they've got. You know what I mean? And so it's just, I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I hate to put more responsibility on track owners, but it's like, do we have to have armed security around the clock? Like it's, you know, and I mean, you take a look at the Phoenix Honda situation. It's like, dude, they're locked. They're under, you know, it's, you can't see them directly through the window. Yes, there's
the video surveillance is there, and it's not going to do a damn thing aside from we know that thugs took it.
Well, and the problem is there's a better chance of me seeing fucking Kyle Peters' bike doing a wheelie down North Tryon later this week than there is of the police department finding him. And that's no shade to CMPD. It's just, it always seems to be.
Yeah.
They get them and they're gone before the person even realizes. And so, yeah, man, I'm tired of it. Like, it's such a bummer. This entire industry and whether it's off road, you know, Phoenix Honda, dude, they do so much shit. I mean, they just won the Arena Cross Championship. They've got 450 riders. They had some 250 riders in Pro Motocross and Supercross. They've got, off road racing sides, two wheels and four wheels. They've got so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's like, and not to mention they're family friends of mine. Like David and Wayne Eller both have grown up with my dad. Like
the announcing tower that you stand in at Loretta's exists because of that, man.
Exactly. Exactly. Maxim Construction goes above and beyond anytime they can for any part of the racing series. And it's just, it sucks, man. I hate to see bad shit happen to good people. And so, yeah, I'm bummed about it, man. I just saw probably an hour and a half before we started this about it. And yeah, it just, it makes me so damn mad. And there's nothing that we can really do other than, you know, if you are in any part of the country, cause God knows where the hell they end up, and you see a Phoenix Racing Honda bike somewhere and you don't see Kyle Peters fucking driving to a track, talk to somebody, try to get a hold of somebody. I'm pretty sure you can actually call directly to Phoenix. I'm not 100% sure, but it's like, dude, we got to do something. I mean, because it's, you shouldn't live in fear that your bikes are constantly going to be under threat. I mean, like my old man, I'll be the first to admit, like, good luck if you come into my garage, because dude, those things are so confusing to unlock the way he's got all of his shit weaved through. Like you're going to bring, yeah, it just, it's, but it's a shame. Like, it's like, dude, you shouldn't
but
have to.
But since the invention
like
of the cordless grinder, like.
Well, and yeah, well.
You were talking about grinders earlier, like, yeah, and being true. On grinder and using that to your advantage. But like, literally, like if you, like, say if you have a 16 foot Vinos trailer, like I've got for my motocross bikes, if you have a zip disc grinder of cordless, walk up, go zing, 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 you fold down the side of the trailer, like.
It's I mean, what, 5-10 minutes most,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know.
It's discouraging.
It's pisses me off, man. Just, it's a bummer. Like I like Heath and all of the Phoenix guys. You know, I believe Luke is the son that works there as well. I mean, they're just all good dudes. They're so excited to see you. And I mean, the riders are cool too. I mean, whether it's Kyle, Cody Barnes, and Rui Barbosa, I mean, like they're good dudes. And like I said, I love this industry. And so when I see something like that happen to not a factory team, not like I'd be any more excited to see it happen to Pro Circuit, but it's just sucks, man. It just sucks. Yep. So that's my rant, man.
It's not the money. It's the, like, because like insurance will go through and they will be compensated for the whatever it is. And unfortunately, yeah, like, insurance premiums will go up. It's guys like Heath Harrison, who won himself a East Coast 250 championship, and the fact that Phoenix Honda said, you know what, man, instead of like getting the, say, $8,000-$10,000 we could get for this dirt bike, we're going to proudly display that in our showroom, because it's a depreciating asset. It will only lose money, but because we love you and we love what you did for us, and we're going to proudly display that for all to see, and now that's gone. And that's,
I mean,
for the however much that money they get brought on to replace that, or in it doesn't,
it won't
do
come
a damn
close
thing.
Yeah, it won't come close. You can put a number one on a new bike and it doesn't do it, man. Yep. And so it's a bummer. There was a lot of history in that room, and it was, I've never gotten to see the PC in person, but It was a red PC showroom, dude. It was championship bikes and just all kinds of history. And the thing that's so annoying is you can see these jackasses. They don't even know how to take the bikes off the damn stand. Like they don't know what the hell they're doing. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's a bummer, dude. But, what are you pissed off about?
Visor placement. This is, call me shallow, but make adjustments here.
What do you mean, man? What's wrong with it? I can see everything I need to.
You can't see nothing, and you look like a jackass.
I can't see shit.
It makes me upset.
This thing, man.
Okay, so let's talk about this. The cosmetics of the sport and they matter, especially when you're trying to look pro and go slow. Like, yes. And knowing full well, and I'm unfortunately going to have to single somebody out here. His name is Sage Voda. He works at First Form. He's one of my boys. Him and I go back and forth daily. We have motivation. We check up on each other. The accountability is absolutely there. And this is my piece of the accountability. You, as well as I know, if you have even your most brand new Trolley Designs helmet, the visor has an adjustment piece in the very center. No matter how hard you crank that, if you put your helmet in the helmet bag, there is a chance that the visor comes down a little bit. This is something that it requires maintenance. Like the proper height to that visor needs to be checked on a regular basis, unless you have a fixed visor, which like the Fox V3 RS. Alpine Stars fixed. All those, and of course, those also have a different attachment. But going back to the days of, say, if it's the Bell Moto 9, or in this case, it's a Troy Lee helmet, you need to have proper, basically, I'll put you this way. If the visor looks like it is providing shade to your eyes in any way, shape, or form, it's too low.
It's not doing it. And to your point, the cosmetics, you can be the fastest guy at the track. And if you're wearing mismatched gear, your visor's down, you're running black numbers on black backgrounds, people will look down on you. Like you will immediately be looked at as out of control, goon. All balls, no brains, you know, and it's like you don't get any respect.
You're not getting invited to the cookout.
Exactly. But you could be a quarter of as fast as that guy. Mm-hmm. You get a good set of Backyard Designs graphics on your bike, right? You get them looking good, get a fresh set of Moose Racing gear, all right? And then you get your helmet on properly. You get your visor like you need. You get everything dialed in as it should be. Dude, you're striking fear into people as you're headed towards staging. Like, it's like, oh, shit, dude. Like, this guy was looking good. Like, and even if it's like they see you rolling around and that might be your top speed, and they're like, oh, he's on a sight lap. Like, he's about to burn one.
He's just checking the best.
He's looking at things right now. And it's just, you get instant credibility. And so, yeah, Sage, and I'll say it, dude. I said something to Brad about it because, I mean, Sage is awesome, dude. First Form, been a huge fan. I'm getting ready to place an order with him. But it's... I saw it and I was like, I got to help a moto brother, man. I was like,
this is tutelage. Yeah, this is helping. He comes from the baseball background.
Exactly.
And hey, baseball is maybe as elitist as it gets as far as hit. They have to come correct every time. And I'm just trying to help a young man out. He comes from another world. He's new to this world.
He's rocking number 16 too. So we got
good looking bike. He's got the Honda.
Good looking. That's what I mean. He's got the kit down. I like the first form gear, even everything looks good. Yep. Just flick that thing up a couple times, man. It'll 100%. Stay up there. Yep.
Maintain the visor placement, and like that is the pathway to success. He doesn't do the goggle sag. His goggles are straight.
Yeah. Everything else looks great.
It's literally the visor down, or in any way, shape, or form down. And it can be too high. Let's not forget that if you have it,
rarely do you have.
Usually that happens when you have a broken mount. Let's be honest. The only time this really happens is because they don't really design it to go
now,
too high.
Now, I will say if you do go old El Chupacabra style backwards, I'll allow it. I'll let you do it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, because you're being hilarious.
Yes, just because it's funny. But I shouldn't do it.
But although Travis Pastrana had almost the double visor back in the day. Remember when he had the M2R helmet? That had like the fins going back the opposite direction.
Oh yeah,
that was a bad look.
Helps with aerodynamics, man.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
The 2005 season that just did not get off the ground for TP. Mm. I think that's what that jersey finds you from, though. By the way,
maybe. He says shit. You can have it. I don't need it.
That's the double backflip season. But yeah, that's all I'm going to go on. Advisor placement is a very important thing. It can make or break your look, because like you said, you can have everything correct. You knock that thing down and you're no longer styling and profiling. It's an immediate no for me, dog.
I have literally reached over to guys I know at the track and like fixed their visor for them. I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, what? I didn't know it fell down. That's what they always say. Oh, I didn't know it fell down. What do you mean?
He's coming back at me in the comments. Sage is like, oh, dude, I took it straight out of my bag. I'm like, I've owned Troy Lee helmets.
Yeah, I took my motorcycle straight off the showroom floor.
You have to readjust. This is not like a set it and forget it. This is first day. Like, if you put on the hat once properly, it's on for good. Like, no, that's not how it works.
Yeah, come on, man.
Take some pride in your work, Sage.
I take my visor off when I clean it, so it's a regular thing. Yeah. Like, you got multiple opportunities. Yeah, no hate, dude. I loved it.
How do you feel about this though? And like it's certain situations you're limited. Obviously, like our good friend Matt Zemitra, mm-hmm. at First Form, he had himself a get off over the weekend. Crashes on the backside of a triple. The visor's now gone on the V10 on the
Oh, we're straight Metzger 9. Style.
So he's going. Yeah, he went straight like Mike Metzger.
Yeah,
like he went bullet head. For like three motos. Unfortunately.
Hey, I'm about it. If I show up to track and paid my money, I am riding. Okay. What I do respect is that he didn't go like duct tape visor. Like I've seen some wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You just owned it at that point.
Yeah. At that point, like, hey, what are you doing? I broke my visor earlier. Like, you want to buy me one?
Control
like,
what you can control. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So. Very small tweaks. First Form guys, they're in better shape than both of us. So I don't know. You and Sage, you guys are going toe to toe in that challenge. I've been watching.
I'm down 8 pounds, brother.
Dude, looking a little slim in the chin, man. I've seen it.
Just because I trimmed my beard doesn't mean I trimmed my beard. So if that's what's doing it, then I'll just go baby face altogether. But this has been a fun power hour. I hope that people are enjoying listening to these episodes. And we are counting down the days to where the two of us. We're going to reunite.
And it feels so good.
We'll most likely be together at Burbadilla, but if we're not, I know one place where we will absolutely be, and that's Loretta Lynn's Amateur National Championships at Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. And that's why we always finish this show with a little Out at the Ranch by Zach Carroll.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men. Walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Times this one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. Golf carts, pit bikes, and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side.
It's time to get
it. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times. This one week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2.